Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Good evening, sir.
This episode of Lucha Underground that we're going to be reviewing, reacting to, sharing our thoughts on, maybe the most appropriately titled episode in Lucha Underground history. We are talking about the episode Breaker of Bones. It is the gauntlet match between Pentagon Dark and the Lotus Triad. Overall, just take on the episode, Jeff.
I enjoyed the episode, but as I was just telling you before the show started, it was really hard to watch Pentagon Dark just beat the crap out of a bunch of different women.
For a solid hour.
For almost an entire hour.
Yeah, I definitely see what you mean there. Me personally, not to awkwardly, be morbid after that comment. I think this is one of my favorite episodes of the season. I thought it was really well done. It was one of the things that Lucha Underground has sort of made its signature is being able to pull off a one match show, even though this was a gauntlet. So it was a series of matches, but it was one grand match, and with Pentagon having to take on four opponents. It was, I will say this, best gauntlet match I can ever think of, as far as the psychology and how they did everything and just the in-ring work and the progression of it. I thought it was really outstanding. I'm a Pentagon Junior, Pentagon Dark guy, so this episode in a lot of ways was made for me. So I've been looking forward to it. I really, like, one of the things I take away from this episode too, I really like the Lotus Triad a lot, in particular Hito Kiri. She was freaking awesome, and I'm excited to see her in the ring more. She is a badass chick, man. So that was really cool. What'd you think of the Lotus Triad overall?
I love the Lotus Triad. When Stryker introduced all of them in a row, like at the very beginning, I said to myself, I'm not going to learn all of those names. So I quickly wrote them off as far as that goes. What I liked was, it was something that you were saying before, the progression. The progression of each match was really solid. Each match told a story, and then all of them woven together, I thought, told a good story too, as far as how aggressive the next contestant was, how Pentagon went from one match to the next. Also, just kind of how quickly they transitioned from one to another. And then I did like the little breakups with the vignettes. I thought it was kind of a nice break in case you didn't just want to carry this, or, like, you know, cover this story. They didn't make the mistake of The Walking Dead, where an entire episode had to do with just one character. We still got to get a little bit of progression as far as other characters go.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I was a little bit surprised by that. I was kind of thinking when they started off with it, because like you, I kind of was lulled to sleep that was going to be all we were doing for the evening. And so I was like, oh, wow, we're not going to get anything else. But it made total sense how they broke it up with the vignettes coming back from break after each match and everything like that. So, yeah, that was really well done. And we started off with a vignette, which I thought was great. And it's been for the last two seasons now, the elephant in the room, which is this weird interaction between Pentagon Dark, or non-interaction between Pentagon Dark and Vampiro. The last two seasons, we've sort of had this tension, elephant in the room, that they don't address it a lot, but it's always there. So whether it was after season one, when Vampiro was Pentagon's master and was, you know, taking him under his wing in secret, but they didn't really talk about it in the open in the temple on commentary and stuff like that. They only alluded to it. And then this season, after Pentagon turned on Vampiro and destroyed him and drank his blood, where they have made some allusions to it again, but like have not made it a focal point, and wondering where we're going with this. We did get a vignette between the two of them, and basically Vampiro saying your sins of the past are going to come back to haunt you eventually, no matter what. And what'd you think of this?
I liked it because it was tense, it was short, and it was just kind of remind us that the feud is still alive between these two. And I thought it kind of set the tone of what this entire episode is going to be, especially with just Vampiro's commentary. And then also you could kind of say the first and last vignettes of this episode are real bookends.
Yeah.
Because it really has to do with what this story is all about. So I thought it was pretty solid, especially in comparison with everything else goes with it.
I really liked Pentagon's response, which is Vampiro just, you know, being very threatening and menacing. And then, just, I mean, Pentagon's so awesome. And just how over Cerro Miedo is. He doesn't even have to say it. He just throws up the hand sign and does the gesture, and that's all we needed. That was great. I loved it. but that took us into the opening of the Gauntlet match. Matt Stryker on commentary, putting over everything that's going on. Vampiro giving the old silent treatment with it. He wasn't giving him anything. Was, you know, really putting over Vampiro's sort of different headspace that he was in coming into this match and everything like that. Dealing with Pentagon, which I thought was really cool. And that's one of the things that Lucha Underground is telling stories everywhere. There's no real waste. I mean, all these characters, everyone that you see on the show, be it Melissa Santos, the ring announcer, the commentators, all characters within this world. So Vampiro's got his stuff going on, and he brought something very different to commentary tonight than he has before because of his feelings about Pentagon and everything that was going on in the ring. So I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, it wasn't saying much at the start to Matt. He got a little bit more animated as the night went on, which we will get into. But
yeah, he rose to the occasion.
Yes, he did. Certainly did. But we started off with was Pentagon taking on Doku, and
her first name is Sue.
Hitting rocks, Jeff. Hitting rocks. God. Ugh. But yeah, so it was Pentagon taking on Doku. And I have a few notes written down here, but this, like you said, each match told different stories. So this was Pentagon at his most fresh. So it was also him at his just most omnipotent aggression. And I will say some things that jumped out to me. I have written down Dat super kick in the face, which was the first note I have. My God.
Oh, dude, right before that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
The drop kick, yes. That sent her halfway across the ring.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was watching too. I don't think I've seen somebody take a drop kick like that. It just completely like sent them like coast to coast.
She's a little girl.
Yeah, and she can fly taking a bump. So I appreciate that. But that kick she took in the face too was vicious. The crowd popped for it. And then I'm sure you noticed this. How could you not? But I'm sure you thought about this one too. The chop to the chest. Was brutal, brutal, brutal.
I was thinking of a line from our old friend Killface.
Dude, I was too. And the next one's right in the tit. I was thinking about that as well. I wanted to like put it out there on Twitter, but I was like, no one's gonna get it. And now you listening at home do not get it, but watch Frisky Dingo and you'll understand. But yeah, that was vicious again at his most physical. And then
shredded her, man.
He did. He really did. Right. And, you know, right when she started to sort of get any sort of advantage when she was coming off the top rope, one of the coolest reversals into Pentagon's finish that you will ever see. I thought that was awesome. And off the top rope, caught her, arm breaker, dunzo. What did you think?
I loved it. It was vicious and I was like, he's got to at least win the first match, because otherwise it would just be an hour of them beating on him, which really doesn't make any sense. I thought it was a real statement win for him. I also like, and he does this in the later matches too. There are a couple times where it's almost like he's mugging for the audience or mugging for the camera.
Yeah.
And it's just, Pentagon is a bad guy, man. he's one of the more evil characters that we have on the show. But I cannot think of anybody who is more celebrated.
He is the most popular luchador, no doubt about it.
I was just imagining this episode being a nightmare of confusion for social justice warriors, as far as you have all these women that are being treated equal, but these women are being pummeled mercilessly for almost an hour, and the audience is just cheering this man.
To the fiendish glee of the onlookers, yes.
They were so bloodthirsty.
And Vampiro talks about it on commentary. Matt Stryker, I think, tried to be like, you know, it seems like it's almost like an interesting interaction between the believers and Pentagon. They're almost taunting him. No, Matt. No, they are not. They love this man with all of their being.
Fully in his corner.
Yeah, it's great. I think again, the only ones that can really hold it with him. And don't get me wrong. There were Lotus Triad chants tonight too, because I think they mentioned it last week on commentary. Maybe it was this episode. But if you bring the violence, they will cheer for you. No matter they will cheer for both competitors, and I do think that is very true. That if you're that most of the time in the temple, both competitors get their share of adulation. Heel
and I think
or
we
face.
See that a lot in match number three.
Yes, absolutely, which was my favorite part of it. Pentagon dispatched Doku. One other thing that I mentioned, he did the press slam outside the ring to the ring apron. Ugh, that was a brutal spot. I mean, he, like you said, he shredded her. That was that is a good way of putting it. And I think it was a good way because of how the rest of the night goes. It was good to book Pentagon so strong here at the start. And also during this on commentary, I did think it was interesting to note that Vampiro was telling this story about this monk and this samurai as far as the monk risking his life to show the samurai what hell was like. What did you think was going on there?
I actually kind of tuned that part out, so.
you weren't picking up what Vampiro was putting down?
I kind of was ignoring him.
I think Stryker kind of was, too. But, the one thing Stryker did say was that he was asking if it was sort of a direct parable to him and Pentagon, maybe more so now turning to somebody else after this episode. We shall see. But I did think that was interesting that Vampiro is telling this story about showing somebody how dark you can go and then showing them heaven, which I don't know if that means it never struck me as a character Vampiro that would be have somebody looking for any sort of redemption. So that was interesting to me, and I noted that. But one match down, Skeletal Ninja 1, Lotus Ninjas 0. One arm broken in Breaker of Bones. The gauntlet match continuing on. But first, we got a backstage segment that I was not expecting. I did not think that we would be seeing the lovely, vivacious Inferno of Hotness, Katrina, on Lucha Underground this week, but that's exactly what we got, and it was with another unlikely person, Jeremiah Crane, and I thoroughly enjoyed this vignette. I'm very interested. I feel like they added another layer. They added some, man, they mixed in lore and sex appeal in this vignette, and I was eating it up. What did you think, Jeff?
I liked it a lot because it added a lot of depth to Jeremiah's character.
Yeah.
When Jeremiah was introduced, I hated him immediately.
Well, he's dating Evie, and we like Son of Havoc.
We like Evie, and we like Son of Havoc together. And then also, he was just coming off as a tool.
Yes.
When I finally got to see him in the ring, I was like, okay, Jeremiah's awesome, but I still don't like his character. Now we're getting a little bit more as far as the past with Katrina, and is he using Evie to get into Lucha Underground? Is that what that was?
Exactly? I don't know. Like I think that is that is the interesting thing about this vignette, because it sounded like Katrina said that that he was the one that sort of turned her onto the temple or something like that. That's what I thought I heard from the very start of their exchange. I have to go back and rewatch it. And then she said that she never thought that she'd see him again, and how surprised he was that he popped up. And it sounds like he absconded with part of her stone. The Mil Muertes stone, I assume, and he wears it around his neck. She's saying that, you know, he's still in love with her, but she's in love with somebody else. Yours truly, of course.
I was going to say, congratulations, James. I wrote that down, actually. I was like, and you sure do like to play it close to the vest.
I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but now that she's dropped the L-bomb first
she made
and
it
on
Facebook
TV.
Official.
Yeah, exactly. And on TV, no less. I'm pretty confident. So, Katrina, I love you too, babe. So, nice. Yeah, but it was, I mean, like I said, lore and sex appeal, nothing really more you can ask for out of Lucha Underground. I want to know what's the deal with the stone around his neck, why, just what that whole layer, and the fact that she is planning on fighting Evilise. They talked about how Evie might not make it to Ultima Lucha Trace. I don't know if that's them kind of getting a backdoor to get out of that match or what have you. And
that better be bullshit.
It could be anything, but I do think it's almost like they almost alluded to it in it as well, that Evilise's injury was almost some sort of black magic done by Katrina, which I would totally be down if they went that route to write that into storyline to play up Katrina's powers, because you gotta make an omelet out of some broken eggs here with that. So I would be totally, totally cool with that. But again, Katrina's got half the amulet. She's got these stones. What's going on with Jeremiah Crane? I was not expecting him to get woven into her storyline and so well, and to be, I don't know. I mean, I can't wait to see what happens next with that. So really well done on that front. Out of nowhere. Did not expect it. From there, it was time to continue on with the gauntlet match. The second member of the Lotus Triad, Yurei, I believe is the pronunciation, as best as I can. Apologies to anyone out there if I am butchering the pronunciation of the name. But, you know, Jeff said he wasn't even going to try and memorize them, so I'm doing...
I already forgot it. Just know that it's related to ghost lore.
Which I was going to bring up is the fact that Matt Stryker brings up that it's related to Japanese ghost lore and everything like that. Awesome. We're
sold.
Yeah, just got done talking about lore. Now we're getting ghost lore? What the fuck? This episode is great. I'm on board with it. Vampiro was into it, and he pointed out that he has a Japanese character tattooed on his chest, and that he was surprised that Matt Stryker never asked him about it, and he was going into it that basically it means, like, you know, the darkest places you can go to, which is, of course, sort of harkens back to...
Vampiro's a real broken record.
Vampiro and Pentagon and everything like that and their whole journey. So I really thought that was great. What did you think of this second of the gauntlet? First of all, about Yurei and the match.
I liked Yurei fine. One of the first things I wrote, though, was that shot with the bell stunk and I didn't like it. but the rest of the match I did enjoy.
I mean, I enjoyed it. Again, it was... Pentagon was still relatively fresh. He was not as dominant as it was in the first match. And, you know, he's already broken one arm.
But he's mortal. Yes. So he was starting to show some fatigue.
It's also important. He spoke right before the start of this match as well. Cut a little bit of a promo promising that he was going to break all of their arms and break Black Lotus in two.
That was great.
And the crowd was eating it up as usual. And,
of course.
And so was I. So I was ready for it. I thought the lore was great in this. I thought their in-ring work was great. Again, the progression of the gauntlet match, you see that. He did another of the chop spot was a theme throughout the gauntlet, and he did another one here. And Vampiro, this is when Vampiro started.
Doesn't matter how small the target is, he hits it dead on each time.
He does. He bullseyes womp rats. This is when Vampiro started to get a little revved up, because I noticed this quote. I love anything dressed in black that wants to hurt you. And I thought...
I immediately thought of Pentagon Dark and thought
so
that was
I.
weird. Yeah. what kind of relationship did you guys have?
Well, who knows?
Maybe it was a few things. It's not just all Master Apprentice.
Yeah, it's you know, there's layers here.
That would explain the animosity.
The main thing I think will stand out to everyone is the finish of this match, which I think I didn't think they were going to top the finish of the first one, but catching a package pile driver off the top rope, that package was airmailed right into the finish of this match. I thought that was fucking sick. What did you think?
I like that. I even like the around the world DDT right before that Yurei was able to pull off. Like we said, she was much more on the offensive than Doku was. And then this was not a weakened Pentagon, but a more vulnerable one, I suppose, because he did just go through a match. So it was kind of nice to see the Lotus Triad actually do a little bit of damage against him.
When Macho Man Randy Savage had to go through the WrestleMania tournament to win the championship, There were like long breaks in between each round of matches and everything like that. And he wrestled the same amount of people, if I'm not mistaken. I think he had to wrestle four times. Pentagon ostensibly had to wrestle four times tonight. And so I think they were doing a good job of, like you said, yeah, he just wrestled the match. So I think it was important for the integrity of the Lotus Triad that he not, you know, even though he had a very dominant first match, it's still going through a wrestling match. So I thought it worked, and he still was very, very much so in control of this one as well. So he's now up 2-0 on the Lotus Triad. Skeletal Ninja Pentagon Dark has Cerro Miedo, but he's got dos broken arms. Yes, exactly. So I'm loving life right now. I'm just like, yeah, up 2-0. I'm looking for the sweep. This is awesome. Like, get the fuck. I mean, I'm enjoying the Lotus Triad, but I'm just like, I'm like going into like sport, like shit talk mode. Like, I'm ready to, like, sweep your ass and, like, get out the brooms. Like, I'm stoked. Like, I'm really feeling myself here. Not as much as maybe Vampiro, but in a different way. I was getting really into this just with the whole keeping score of everything. And, again, the aptly titled episode Breaker of Bones. So I was looking forward to seeing some more arms get broken, which I got, but not in the way I was hoping.
Well, I mean, there's two more matches. I assume two more arms get broken.
You'd be correct in your assumption, Jeff.
All right.
So the third match, which I thought
checks out.
The third match of the gauntlet, we were introduced to Hidokiri, which means assassin in Japanese, according to Matt Stryker, which is awesome. So they introduce her, but then we jump to a vignette of Matanza and Dario Cueto. Matanza in his man crib, his cage. And he's my takeaway from this was, so Matanza's freaking out. He's painting a Rey Mysterio question mark and blood on the walls. Dario's like, you know, hey, man, like, we're going to get the Lucha Underground title back. Like, you still dominated in Aztec Warfare. It's a cinch. You can beat Johnny Mundo for it. And yeah, we got Matanza talking more than we ever have, basically. I mean, grunting, guttural words coming out. But basically, like a petulant child. Like, you can't just buy me another toy. Like, it's done now. Like, it's over. So he's having some coping issues that I'm sure, Jeff, you probably have a lot of, like, stupid ways that you would deal with. But, you know.
I have a lot of sound strategies on how I help children through those. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. I teach coping skills for a living, sir.
Yeah, well, Matanza might have been able to use your dubious services in this sense, because he was like, full tantrum mode, no?
Yeah, and he was a danger to himself and others, since he was bloodying his own knuckles against the wall. This
Did he just want attention?
Awesome. This was an awesome vignette. Yeah, what is the function of the behavior? Also seeking a tangible. He wants his revenge. I loved the bloody question mark on the wall, and then I was thinking with Matanza, where he kept saying no to Dario, I was like, you know, the sooner they learn to talk, the sooner they learn to talk back. And we're starting to lose control with this guy here.
I was actually surprised that Dario was so
Dude, cool. Dario was kind of sweet.
Yeah, he was. He was cool about everything. And after Matanza had attacked him as well. So I thought this was going to be more of an angry Dario. But yeah, he was actually like, this is probably about as caring of a brother as we've ever seen. Like, oh, you dropped your ice cream cone. We can get you another. It's like, I don't want another ice cream. I want a soda. It's like, oh, I'll get you soda. I'll get you fucking soda.
I want to kill Rey Mysterio Jr.
So, yeah, that was interesting. It was a great vignette, though, and it's going to set up a really badass feud with Rey Mysterio. So I'm looking forward to that. What is your excitement level there?
Very excited for that. I'm glad that Rey was the guy who basically took out Matanza, or at least disgraced him in the ring. I'm looking forward to seeing how that feud goes. My only concern is Matanza is a handful with a certain young protege coming back into the business. I don't see how Rey is going to be able to help and guide him while he's got to deal with Matanza. And I feel Dragon Azteca Jr. is going to do something stupid while Rey's not around.
Can't guide him if you're dead. So, I mean, good luck to Rey. I mean, Rey did pin him, but it was after a lot had gone on in Aztec Warfare. So, yeah, I'm looking forward
and
to that.
Yeah, just about everybody for almost the entire episode pounding on him.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it was a collective effort.
It really was. But, I mean, I really do think Rey will come out on top in the end. It'll probably coincide with, Matanza's ultimate downfall, probably at the hands of Dario and whoever his Shao Kahn, Dr. Claw boss is. And probably God-powered Brian Cage will rip him in half like the belt. Who knows? But so we go to the third match of the gauntlet now with Pentagon and Hidokiri already in the ring. And this is a lot of what I was talking about with the progression of the gauntlet. In this match, Hidokiri came out like a house of fire and was really taking it to Pentagon. He'd been through two matches with, again, it's not just with two, like, nobodies. Yes, they're debuting in the temple, but the storyline wise, as far as who these Lotus Triad are, as far as these badass ninja assassins, so he's fought two of them already, and two of their best. So I liked it that she was coming out and taking to him, tossing the chair at him, just doing all these great physical things to Pentagon, pulling up the mat and all that jazz was great. This was my favorite match of the night. What did you think?
Is my favorite as well. You talk about the progression of the matches. We also have the progression of Vampiro's Arousal.
Yeah, we do. Go ahead and talk about what was going on with Vampiro.
And the part I was thinking of is, like you said, her pulling back the mat on the floor and her just giving him those, like, the kick. She was kicking him, wasn't she? And Pentagon just basically, like, give me some more, bitch.
Yeah.
and Vampiro just, the camera wasn't on Vampiro. I'm imagining what he may have been doing to himself as he was talking about it. But yeah, he's just like, oh, I know where he got that from. And just, and basically just talking about the violence and getting off on it. And the whole thing was really disgusting for me. And I think Stryker is starting to respond negatively towards it as well.
Stryker just inching away.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to sit over here now.
Yeah, no, Vampiro was getting really into it, just like grunting and just going, yeah, give it to me. Mm, yeah, baby. It was
interesting.
Disturbing yet appropriate for Vampiro and everything that was going on with you know, because he, for him, it's probably so cathartic watching his pupil have to go through this and everything. Just so there's a lot of things going on there. I loved one of my favorite spots was when Pentagon, he did it twice in the match, but the first time with the camera shot, when he tossed her just into the sea of chairs.
Yes.
And just she looked dead. She looked broken in this morass of chairs and just how she fell. And it just, oh, it was so brutal looking. I appreciate it, though. I thought that was friggin' sick.
The second time he did that was bad, just because then he started choking her with the damn camera cable.
Yes, and that...
it was dragging her around. That was one of those times where I stepped outside of myself for a moment. I was like, what are we all watching here?
Yeah.
Because the crowd was going nuts.
They were
practically chanting, choke that bitch.
they were eating up every second of it. And all I could think about at first was... I thought about the Rob Lowe commercials and like DirecTV and cable, and I was like, "Man, Hidokiri with cable is not doing as well as Hidokiri with DirecTV because this is getting bad." And he essentially choked her out in another very. She's great at selling, but like when he was choking her out on like the turnbuckle and everything with the camera cable, that like you said, that was one of the most brutal spots we've seen. But they did a great job on commentary putting over this like. How tough she was that Pentagon is resorting to this, essentially having to suffocate the life out of her to win this match. And then I thought Pentagon, you know, he was feeling himself a little bit too much. He was toying with her too much, which let her get back into this match, which led to a real This Is Why I Love Lucha moment with the high cross off of Dario's office by Hidokiri to Pentagon. Holy shit, that was a crazy crossbody spot. What did you think of it, Jeff?
I like it anytime anybody goes off of Dario's office. I think it's great. I saw where this was... I didn't see where this was going at first. At first, I thought she was just trying to escape. I thought she was pulling a ninja vanish. The way she was running up the stairs, I was like, oh, is she just saying, screw this, and then they'll just ambush him afterwards? And it's like, you know what, guys? The one-on-one matches aren't working. Let's just all attack them. But then when I saw her working her way around, I said, oh, crap, no, she's just going to go off the roof, isn't she? And I thought that was terrific. And I also liked the part where Pentagon had hit her with the chair, and Stryker said right in the caboose, and at the same time, Pentagon had licked the chair afterwards.
He's a wicked man that's done wicked acts.
I don't blame him. I would have licked the chair, too.
Yeah, I think she's a cutie patootie, too.
I was falling in love with the Lotus Triad.
Yeah, even Matt Stryker said, could she possibly be the future ex-Mrs. Vampiro, is what...
Vampiro did not respond to that.
He did not. I wonder if that's like an inside ref... I don't know. I wonder if that was a too inside reference for us. Who knows? But yeah, and I appreciate
it was a line from a movie.
Well, Jurassic Park, they make the Miss Future.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Ex-Mrs. Malcolm. I like just the subtle thing, just doing the prayer hands before she did the high cross off the top, too. I don't know, just very ninja, very Japanese kind of deal. I liked that. And then she hits the code red. Like, so at this point, she hits the big spot. I'm like, okay, you know, so they're really putting this one. I'm still in sports shit talk mode. I'm like, he's still gonna pull through this and win. I want him to get the sweep. And then when she hit the code red, man, I really wanted that kick out at two. But she got the pin on Pentagon. Hell of a match, man. Like, I thought it was just a, like, if this was a match by itself, I would have been I would have been thoroughly pleased with it, but in the confines of the gauntlet. So now, I think it made sense that they were going to pay off the stipulation that even if Pentagon loses, he has to fight all of them, you know, kind of deal. So as much as I want him to sweep, I was thinking that, you know, he probably was going to lose the third one, was sort of what I was thinking going into it. I didn't want it to happen, but Hito Kiri was more than a worthy person to sort of get the rub there, pinning Pentagon. Again, would have preferred him getting the victory. But then that's when we get Black Lotus. And my thoughts on Black Lotus and her part of the of the gauntlet match. One, if you're keeping score at home, it's 2-1, still in favor of Pentagon. And then I'm saying it's 3-1 because she punched referee Marty Elias, and I think that is a disqualification. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Pentagon 3-1. And then
no official fourth match. And match then, never started.
And then everything else was just extracurricular. You know what Black Lotus was here? Because she came down and picked the bones of Pentagon, the skeletal ninja. She is the person that, like, she opened the jar of pickles after Hito Kiri had loosened it for her and then starts flexing, acting like she's the tough one. Hito Kiri did all the work.
And that's what she gets paid for. She's an assassin.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. We saw for the first time ever, the Breaker of Bones, Pentagon Dark, had his arm broken by Black Lotus, and
so that's what that feels like.
Seriously, yeah, he probably had his Batman moment, and I'm watching in horror because I'm like, no, that means that they're gonna be like taking him off TV for how long? And then Azteca shows up, and I was thinking that he was gonna show his mug here, in this match at some point. And
I was hoping,
And they were talking about how, you know, he had his issues with Lotus already, but they cleared the ring for him. And then I got to believe that Ray would frown on this. Azteca steps on Pentagon's broken arm and breaks the other one. What did you think about all this going down with Lotus and Azteca and poor Pentagon? He's mostly armless.
Oof.
Come on.
Ray specifically told him that Pentagon has enough enemies that'll destroy him on his own, so you don't have to do any of this. The Azteca Lotus feud is sort of confusing to me, and I just feel like it's a series of misunderstandings. She did kill his predecessor, even though she was kind of duped into doing it, though.
Yes, she did.
So she does need to answer for that, but at the same time, if she had known the truth, she wouldn't have in the first place. The two of them should be allies against Dario.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, obviously, they're still going to go at it. I mean, you could even see how they were looking at each other, but it's like, hey, you know what? Pentagon ruined our match back in July, so let's both take a shot at him right now, and then you and I will deal with this later on. So, I mean, I liked it from a story point. The only thing is, having a feud with Pentagon Dark, I just feel like if you do something like this to him, the feud's not over. Pentagon Dark will eventually heal himself. And like, what's stopping him from just interrupting another one of your matches and breaking your arm again later? I mean, the guy doesn't forget shit. You know, he just walks around and is pissed and is evil. That's all he does.
He has Cerro Miedo, but he has a multitude of grudges.
He's like a dwarf.
I was exchanging with somebody on Twitter. They put out there that I can't wait till Pentagon comes back with like metal robot arms. And I just responded, I was like, he's gonna be like Jax. That's exactly what I said. He's gonna be like Jax.
I was wondering if they have to have a vignette where you see him like summon dark gods or whatever to just heal his arms quickly so he can make it back in like just a few weeks, or are we gonna see him with a couple of casts and he just does like a bunch of Batroc Savant moves on people?
Dude, he just has super strong legs
and he starts breaking people's arms with his legs.
Dude, I don't know, I was thinking about that too, about the whole dark gods and everything like that too, like what like strange magics will he have to resort to like come back like at some sort of supernatural level. I mean, will he be forced to perhaps go in league with somebody like a Katrina? I really don't know.
I don't see that happening, though. I mean,
I don't
he
see
hates
that.
Everybody.
He does, but I do think we are going to see some sort of vignette, whatever he learned from Vampiro, perhaps about, you know, with his training, about all the beating he took and everything, and learning how to walk again and whatnot. It's something that I'm looking forward to. I hope he doesn't miss too much time. I mean, this, you know, he's been on all the promotional material and everything like that. He still hasn't won the championship. I'm dying over here for my guy to get his hands on some gold. So I wonder how long he's going to be out for. But I'll pose the question again. You mentioned a little bit, but do you think Rey Mysterio is going to be disappointed in his pupil going such a brutal route here?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to be giving him a lecture. I could still see a rift forming between the two of them just because Azteca Jr. is too impatient. Like I said, he's a very Anakin Skywalker-esque character to raise Obi-Wan. Yes. And so I could see him eventually pushing him away and going off and doing his own thing.
Yeah, and I think we still haven't really gotten...
And paying the price for it.
We still haven't really gotten like that payoff of Mysterio in Dario's office and sort of that almost like detente like deal that they made, like that basically like Rey wouldn't pursue, you know, what really happened and everything. And, you know,
what I would love to see is that Chavo finds out about that, sneaks back in and tells Azteca Jr.
Yeah. I mean, Chavo's going to be back at some point, and I agree with you that there is that rift coming between them. And, you know, eventually I think Azteca will realize his folly and come through in the end. Maybe at the cost of Rey's life, you know, sort of Obi-Wan-like sacrifice. I don't know. But I really like Aztec, and I do think he is very much so a big part of the future of Lucha Underground. So he's gonna go through a rough arc, though, I see coming here. And I think it's going to be very interesting. And they did talk about when Lotus was outside the ring that she almost was like would just as soon go back in the ring and attack Azteca as well. But she thought better of it on this night. Overall, just before we take our break and do some business and then talk about the final vignette, just overall thoughts on that gauntlet match, though, one more time, Jeff.
Oh, I thought overall it was great. I liked the story that they told, the way it progressed. Like I said, it was a little intense to watch at times, but I thought it was very true to the different characters. I'm excited to see the Lotus Triad do more. I could see those three girls perhaps being trios champions someday. Yeah.
That's a very good point. Do you think they did, because this was something that I've seen critique online that, you know, they've kind of cut off Pentagon at various points when he needed to win the big one and everything like that. And I understand those things. But, you know, quick to point out that they filmed both those seasons right on top of one another. So, you know, this one is when they've really had known what they've had in the entity that is Pentagon. And what to, you know, to push him and stuff like that, to really push him. Do you think that from my perspective, I do think they served both masters here. I think they made Pentagon look really strong, and I think they also made the Triad look strong, and they've furthered their storyline. So I think they did well here, even though as a Pentagon loyalist, I would have loved for him to get the sweep and everything like that. And maybe then the Triad collectively beat him down or what have you. What is your thoughts on that? Do you think they made Pentagon look too weak? What do you think?
When it comes to different wrestling promotions, I feel wins and losses matter the least in Lucha Underground. It really is about the story. And you were talking about, as a Pentagon Jr. / Dark fan, following him over the past few seasons, you've seen how many matches he's lost. It clearly has done nothing to disrupt his character as far as just getting over with the fans. I remember when Pentagon Jr. Made his debut in season one, or at least when I watched it, which was after. But, I mean, he went from, you know, sort of like this mid-card guy who he was kind of one of those jokes at first. Him and Son of Havoc, I thought, actually were kind of jokes at first as far as how many matches they lost and kind of who they were facing off against. But it didn't matter because they resonated with the fans. And I feel that they've had their moments in the sun when they've needed to at the right moments. And that's why they're now, you know, as popular as they are. Pentagon Dark, he doesn't necessarily win every match, but you can't tell me he's not one of the toughest guys in the temple. He beats the crap out of everybody.
Yep.
And can take a beating.
Yep. No, I think that is very well said that, and in a good way, it is all about the story in Lucha Underground, which is why we love it so much, because it is compelling storytelling in one hell of an hour of television. But let's do some quick little business here before we talk about the final vignette that closed the show. Appreciate you listening to the podcast, Believers. We hope you are enjoying listening as much as Jeff and I enjoy doing the show for you. If you could do us a favor, and if you have not already, subscribe to us on iTunes and Audio Boom, and please rate and review us on iTunes. It is a big help. I know a lot of podcasts ask people to do that, and there's a reason for it. It is the best help that you can give to the podcast. And also, just tell your friends, share it out there. We love wrestling. We know wrestling fans are a loyal, great bunch. So help us get the word out about Lucha Lowdown. We love doing this for you, and we hope to continue doing it for as long as Lucha Underground is in existence. And if you want to get a hold of us, interact with us on social media, at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. When I am not working a Warriors home game or barring some other issue coming up in my life, I live tweet the East Coast feed that I get out here on the West Coast, Best Coast. Every week when I can watch Lucha Underground live, I will be interacting with y'all. And it's been a lot of fun so far. So keep doing that, at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. You can email us, luchalowdown@gmail.com. Yeah, just get involved with us. We love all the interaction with the Believers. And we're going to be tweaking sort of the live stream, the Twitch format and everything like that in the coming weeks and everything. So we're still working on how best to do that. But that's all for stuff down the road. But, yeah, get involved with us, Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. Like us on Facebook as well. Help us get the word out. We certainly appreciate it. And that does it for this little bit of business. Back to the show. We closed off this episode not with Pentagon Dark. Yes, two broken arms. What the hell's going to happen there? But it seemed like this was all part of a master plan to remove some obstacles, because we got one final vignette in an unholy church, it seemed. There was a coffin. There were some upside-down crosses. There were some candles. There was Prince Puma, and then there was demonic Vampiro saying, "Come with me," as Puma awoke in a lurch. What the hell's happening, Jeff?
Kind of what you predicted, as far as that Puma was the one that Vampiro's had his sights on for a little while. He's his next disciple. And we don't know how long and how elaborate this plan has been for Vampiro to push Puma down a darker path, encourage him to go that way, eventually be defeated by Mil Muertes, where once he's broken, he can be built back up in, I guess, like Vampiro's image. And then maybe at some point he'll send Puma after Pentagon.
Yeah, that's going to be a hell of a confrontation again, too. I'm very interested to see where this goes. I think it speaks to the long-term involvement that we still are going to have from Prince Puma and Lucha Underground, which is great because he has been the face that's run the place since season one. He's going to be going down a much darker path, it seems. I'm excited to see it, though, because I was thinking about it during the opening vignette, too, and you so beautifully said that it bookended this episode. Man, the Vampiro-Pentagon interaction is so good, and it's like Vampiro has not been a regular wrestler for a long time, but all of his in-ring stuff with Pentagon was, he had no business being that good, but it was phenomenal. Still is my favorite match in Lucha Underground history. But their chemistry with one another is fantastic. His chemistry with Puma is really good, too. I'm looking forward to seeing this story pay off because, man, what a build. And even if they didn't know what they were going to do with it at first, like Vampiro's commentary being so complimentary of Puma over the seasons and now getting him in his clutches, like it's like he's collecting this prized piece. So I am excited to see what they do with that. And, yeah, changes for Puma coming, I fear, Jeff.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be a rough road for him, and I'm not entirely excited about that.
I think he'll come out true blue in the end. I have no fear of that.
Bring back the vintage Puma outfit. We'll go back to player one status.
Yeah, he's gonna have to break into like the Prince Puma Museum, like Captain America, and get his old outfit. So with that is gonna do it for us this week here at Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.